this lesson, this sermon, and a thousand others and several hundred series are on the web at www.lifegatechurch.com. So go visit there. Click around a little bit. Click on some of those ads and buy something. And also, if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. And type that in and you'll find us. Well, it's Mother's Day, and so what we always do is we get our moms to stand so we can applaud you. So if you're a mother, would you stand so we can recognize you and applaud you? Yeah. Look at that. Look at that. Wow. I want you to stay standing. I want you to remain standing. All right. Good. Good. Where would any of us be without a mother, right? I mean, that's where we would be. We wouldn't be here. So I want to bless your life. I want to speak a declaration over it. Father, I do. I bless these women, Father. I bless them with happiness. I bless them with health. I bless them, Lord God, with all good things, with prosperity, length of life. Father, I ask you to be with each and every one. They have given so, so much to their families and their children and to society. I ask you, Lord God, now to bless them back accordingly. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Good. Love you, moms. Most of us love our moms. Some don't. Most of us had great moms. And I was struggling as to what I was going to do today. I wanted to begin a new series, but I realized it was Mother's Day. And I always preach a special sermon on Mother's Day for mothers, you know. But the new series, the series is titled, you know, Smile, Staying Happy When. And, of course, the staying happy or staying positive part of it is staying in God's way, with God's hope, with God's provisions and God's promises for us and staying in his purposes for us when things are going bad. Because sometimes when things start going bad, we start slipping away from God. So this is what the series was about. So I was pondering it and I said, well, what's wrong with talking about smile, staying positive when you had a bad mom? Now think about it. Imagine having a bad mother. Now, most of us can't. Most of us had great mothers, excellent mothers even. But some of us had a bad mother. There's nothing worse to get life started than having a bad mother. If anything is going to cause you to have a negative life, it's having a bad mother. And there's things that she imparts to us. There's things that mother imparts to us that's going to remain with us for the rest of our life unless we understand what to do. Negative things. And God doesn't want you to have a negative life. He wants you to have a positive life. We all know people who had bad moms. And if you investigate their life, what you find is they struggle in certain areas that are directly related back to what they got from their mother. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Because God wants you to have a positive life. Now, the Lord and the Scriptures and the Bible, it all talks a lot about mothers. It's filled with mothers. It talks about excellent mothers. It talks about good mothers. It talks about not so good mothers. It talks about really, really bad mothers. But one thing in common that all the mothers have, is the incredible effect that they have on their children. Whether you're a good mom or whether you're a bad mom, you had an incredible effect on your children. And whether you had a good mom or whether you had a bad mom, she has an incredible effect on you, positively or negatively. So let's take about 40, 45 minutes, and let's talk about this just a little bit, about five particular principles that I want to project to you. And the first one is this. I want to ask you a question, and we'll spring from it. Is it possible for a woman, for a mother, to birth a baby, nurse a baby, raise a baby, and then forget the baby? Is that possible? Is that humanly possible for a mother to raise and nurse a baby, and then forget the baby? Well, God asked this identical question in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. And I want to read it to you, but then he gives us the answer. So let's take a look at this. In Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 15, says this. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? There's the question. Now he answers it. Though she may forget. So there's the answer. The answer is yes. It could happen. It's possible. It's possible for a mother to forget the child she birthed, and forget the child she breastfed. It's possible. He says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. Now, I want to talk about that just a second. So take that down. See, what he is doing here, what God is doing here, is he's comparing his eternal love with a mother's maternal love. And what he's saying is, though your mother let you down, though your mother forgot about you, though your mother disattached from you and disassociated from you and did some things wrong, I'll never will. I'll be a mother for you if you had a bad mother. And this is what he's saying. And he goes on and he says something pretty amazing here. He says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. See. Now he's going to show us something. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Now look at this. I want you to see. He engraved you on the palms of his hands. What he's doing here is the Lord is saying, though your mom let you down, I won't. I will straighten up what she didn't. Right? So he asked this question. Is it possible for a mother to birth a child, nurse a child, raise a child, and then forget the child? Yes. The answer is yes. It's even worse. She can not only forget the child, she can reject the child, or she can even kill the child. She has such an incredible impact on us. Our mother imparts things into us that will go with us until we die. And some of those things are negative. And we need to understand what we need to do about them. So let's take a little time here. And let's take the time and let's look at this thing and see what God has to say to us concerning this. Because God doesn't want you to live a negative life. He wants you to smile. He wants you to stay in his program and in his purpose. He wants you to have a good life and a positive life that's going along with him. So he compares his eternal love that he has with a mother's maternal love. And he lets us know this, that he says, I'll never forget you. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about my wife and how she is always thinking about our children. She's every day, and not a day goes by, she doesn't tell me what Lance is doing or what Bonnie's doing or what Jack is doing or what Max is doing or what Michael Lance is doing or what John David is doing. You know, one of them messed his shoulder up and it's out of joint, or one of them messed up in school. You know, she's always telling me what they're doing. Now, I'm about to say something. I'm about to make a confession. And I think it's pretty much a confession that all dads have and would make. You see, our children are grown, and they live in other cities. So I don't see them as frequently as I'd love to, but they're out of sight and out of sight and out of mind. It's the way it works with us dads. There's days that go by that I don't think about them. Now, I love them. Understand what I'm saying. Don't get me yet. I love them like she loves them. I love them just like she loves them. I do. I love you just like she loves you. But I just don't. But I don't think about you all the time. I got other things I want to think about. But every thought, somewhere in every thought of a good mother are those children, are those grandchildren. And so if you had a bad mother, likely you were forgotten about. And you're going through life with a self-worth issue. Because if you're not valuable to mama, right, who are you valuable to? And God says, where she dropped it, I'll pick it up. Because you're precious to me. You're so precious to me. And the first thing that we've got to realize if we had a bad mom is that we're precious to God. We're engraved in the palms of his hands. And if we begin to live this out and enjoy this and understand that we're precious to God, we're going to start receiving the favor of God in our lives. We're going to start enjoying life as life is intended to be for us. There's a story I wanted to share with you. A little boy named Tommy was going to school, and he had an impending event that was going to take place in his family. He's going to have a little brother or a little sister. He was telling everybody, he was telling all of his friends about his little brother or his little sister that was coming. He told his teacher, his first grade teacher, about it. He's 6 years old. And he was all excited about it. Well, one day mommy let him touch her tummy where the baby was kicking. The baby was moving. So she took his hand and she put it on her tummy and held it there, and the baby moved. Well, Tommy was impressed, but he didn't say anything. And he stopped talking about the baby brother or the baby sister coming. He went weeks and didn't say anything to any of his friends. He didn't say anything to his teacher. One day the teacher noticed it and said, Tommy, what happened with your little baby brother or your little baby sister that was coming to your home? He broke down crying. He broke down weeping. She said, Tommy, what's the matter? What's the matter? What happened? What happened? He confessed up. He said, I think mommy ate it. It's funny, but bad moms do devour the lives of their children. Bad moms eat away at the life of their children. Now, if you have a teenager, or if you have a child that's 2 years old and really is a terrible two, you kind of understand, though you're a great mom, you kind of understand why some animals eat their young. But there is this attachment that mothers have with children that dads don't. And we see it everywhere. First of all, of course, at conception, there's this umbilical cord that provides not just nutrition but love for that. But even after birth, this attachment continues. And we see it in nature. You know, we look at a cat with her kittens. You know, she births those kittens. She licks those kittens clean. She cleans them up. She nurses them. She takes care of those kittens for a while until they can take care of themselves. Even in the bird world, you know, I remember, as I was preparing this, I was one time behind our house, and I heard a squawking up in a tree. And I looked, and there was a bird's nest up there. And it was an easy tree to climb, so I wanted to go up and see what was in that bird's nest. So I started climbing up this tree, and something hits me in the back of the head. Whop, you know. What was that? I didn't see anything. And again, whop, from another side, it hits me again. And this time I hear, you know, the wings. And I look around, and here goes a mama blue jay flying off. And she circles around, and now she's coming right back at my face. She is not going to let me get up there. She's going to take my eyeballs out. And she's coming right at me. I duck, and then I let go. I fall out of that tree. But a mother has this instinct to take care of those kids. You're not going to get to my babies. You know, and they're up there squawk, 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 and you've seen them. A mama bird will go get bugs or seed or worms or whatever and come back and feed those babies and take care of those babies of hers. We see it with a lamb, with a sheep, with her lambs. We see it with a cow, with her calves, or a dog, with her puppies. But there is this amazing attachment. We see it even with a little girl, with her baby dolls. You know, she loves her little baby dolls. She wants to feed those little baby dolls. She wants to wash, bathe those little baby dolls. She wants to change the diapers with those little baby dolls. She wants to take care of those little baby dolls, buy dresses and clothes and pants and stuff for those little baby dolls. She loves those baby dolls because God has wired a mama to be attached to those children. But if you had a bad mom, you missed out on the attachment that God wanted you to experience. So not only now do you go through life with a self-worth issue, you have difficulty attaching and trusting people. You have difficulty because mom never attached to you. She never taught you the importance of attaching in relationships. So you're always doubting people. But God says, well, your mom dropped it. I love you. I'll take care of you. Look, you're attached to me. I'm attached to you. Look, see? You're in the palms of my hands. Now, what I want you to see here is he didn't say your names are tattooed in the palms of my hand. He says you are in the palms of my hand. See, he says, I want you to see this. You are in it. And Jesus was talking about this. And Jesus says, you're in my hands and nobody's going to pluck you out of my hands. And the Father's greater than me. And if they can't pluck you out of my hands and you're in the Father's hand, nobody's going to get you out of the Father's hands. The Lord says, I love you. I'll never forget you. I'm always, always, you're welded to me. You're always before me. I'm always looking at you. I'm always watching you. I love you. And the very first thing that we've got to understand if we had a bad mom, or a mom who dropped the ball in areas, is that God loves us. And where mom dropped it, we can trust the Lord to pick it up. And if we will, our life is going to be, instead of going tending downward or even flatlining, our lives are going to begin tending upward. We're going to begin to receive the favor of God in our lives. We're going to begin to go up in life. We're going to have the blessings of God coming upon us and the favor of God coming upon us. See, I was my mother's favorite. Now, my sister thought she was, but I know that I was. Mama had a gift to making us both feel like we were her favorites. She did things for me she didn't do for her, for my sister. And I know, probably she did things for my sister she didn't do for me. But Mama made me feel like I was her favorite. I had her favor on my life. And what God wants to do for any of us who had a bad mom or had a mom who dropped it in areas is that He wants us to realize that we can begin to have the favor of God. He can make you feel like you're His favorite. People ask me sometimes, Delbert, how's it going? Oh, man, it's great. If it got any better, I think God had favorites. And I really believe that. I feel like sometimes I am so special to God. And I had a great mother. So I'm telling you, listen, if you feel like you had a bad mother or your mom dropped it in areas, if you will connect with God, you need God, that's the first thing. If you will, you'll begin to have favor and you'll be able to smile. Staying very positive, even though you had bad parenting and a bad mom. So that's the first thing. There's several other issues that I really want to talk about and point out to us. And the Bible tells us a story about two mothers. Now, these two mothers lived together, and these two mothers were prostitutes. And a bad side of prostitution is pregnancy. And both of these moms became pregnant about the same time, and they gave birth 3 days apart. 3 days apart. One of the mothers rolled over and crushed and smothered her baby to death in the middle of the night while sleeping. What she did, and this happens in life, this is what mothers do sometimes, bad mothers. They're kind of stymied in life. They're sleeping as it is through life. And they don't realize it, but they're crushing their children. This mom, she takes the dead baby, her dead baby, and she swaps it with the other mother's alive baby. Well, when morning comes, she sees the mother that is the original mother, the right mother of the living baby, sees that the dead baby is not hers. So she goes and she confronts the other mother. She says, "You took my baby. This is not my baby." Mamas know their babies. She says, "This is not my baby. You took my baby. No, that's your baby." And she refused to relinquish the baby. So it went all the way to court. They had this contention going on between them, and it went all the way through the lower courts, all the way to the high court, where King Solomon sat. So they came before him and they presented their cases, both of them saying that the baby was theirs. So here's how Solomon handled it. Let me read it to you. It's in 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to read to you verses 24 and 25 here. Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." Bring me a what? Bring me a sword. Now that's important. Bring me a sword. So they brought a sword for the king. He then gave an order. "Cut the living child in two. And give half to one and half to the other." A mother was telling her little daughter. Actually, she was reading a Bible story, this Bible story, to her daughter. She got to this part and she stopped. And she says, asked her daughter, she said, "What do you think that the authentic mother, the real mother, said when King Solomon said, 'Cut the baby in half'? What do you think that the real mother said?" The little girl pondered it just a second. She said, "I think she probably said, 'Give me the bigger half.'" Now, this little girl needs some help, doesn't she? I mean, this little girl needs some teaching and some training, and we're going to be talking about that shortly. That's not what she said. It's more like what the bad mother said. But let me read to you what both mothers said. In verse 26, it says this: "The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, 'Please, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' But the other said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling: 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is the mother.'" But don't you think that the mother who said, "Cut him in half," was a bad mother? Bad mother. Cut him in half. Maybe you had a bad mother and she crushed you. She crushed life out of you. She didn't intend to. She was sleeping through life. It wasn't her intention, but at that particular time in her life, it was all about her. She didn't care about her children. She was forgetting them. She was detached, disattached, not attached to the children. She was saying, cut it in half. I don't care about it. Cut it in half. And maybe you were cut in half when your mom and your dad divorced. And your loyalty was divided. And your emotions were divided. And your love was divided. And your life was divided. Because both parents wanted the bigger half. But God says, where they let you down, I'll never forget you. I won't do that to you. You're engraved. You're always before me. And God doesn't want you to live a crushed half life. He wants you to smile, staying positive, even though you had a bad mama. So Solomon's solution was the sword. It's your solution. If you had a bad mama, if you had a good mama, it's still a great solution in your life. But especially if you had a bad mama. The sword. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is talking here about the armor of God. And here he says in verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice something here. The Spirit isn't the sword. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword. The Spirit's not. Now, to get the sword, you got to have the Spirit. You not only need God, know that God loves you. He'll never forget you and that He's always attached to you. But you also need God's Spirit. And you need God's Word. That's the sword. With the sword of God, with the sword of the Spirit, you can go through life offensively and not just defensively. You can attack life rather than life attacking you. But you can also defend yourself against the wiles of the devil. You can defend yourself with the sword as well. The Word of God. And when you apply the Word of God and implement the Word of God, it's impossible to fail. Women, for example, if you will just take one chapter in the Bible and make that applicable to your life, chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs, just that one chapter, and live that out, it's impossible for you to fail. That's the virtuous woman. You will be successful. You will make money. Your children will call you blessed, and your husband will adore you. You'll have an amazing family. You'll have an amazing life. And you're tending upward and upward and upward. The favor of God comes on you. Things go well in your life. If you're a young man, or if you're a husband and you had a bad mom, if you'll just take the book of Proverbs, one book, the book of Proverbs, and apply that to your life, implement that into your life, it's impossible for you to fail. You'll live life well. You'll be successful. You'll make a lot of money. You'll have a great occupation. Your children will adore you and cherish you. Your wife will love you. You'll have a great life just by implementing the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. No matter what type of mother you had, you're going to smile. You're going to begin making great decisions in life. You're going to have a great life, a successful life, and a wonderful family. So yes, you need the Lord, love of the Lord. You need to know the Lord loves you. Yes, you do. You need to know He's always attached to you. But you need His Spirit and you need His sword, the Word of God in your life. So there's another one that I want to discuss as well. All of us need teaching. All of us do. We need teaching how to properly love. We need to know how to properly love our spouse. We need to know how to properly love our children. No matter if you're a man or a woman, you need this in your life. But if you had a bad mother, you probably didn't get that. Likely, you don't know how to properly love because you never saw her love properly. Now, how do we handle this? Well, there is a solution, and I want to show it to you. The Apostle Paul is writing to a pastor named Titus. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this: likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, boys or girls. You needed a good mama. You needed somebody who could train you how to love your children and how to love your children. And if you had a bad mom, you probably didn't get this. I ask you a question. If you had a bad mom and she taught you everything that she knew, what did she teach you? Well, she taught you how to be disrespectful to God. She taught you how to slander. She taught you how to be addicted. But she didn't teach you how to love your children. And she didn't teach you how to love your husband, if you're a woman. If you're a man, what you learned was how to be disrespectful to God and the things of God. Irreverent. You learned how to slander, talk about people. You learned how to be addicted. And you learned a very warped sense of what a mother is. You learned a very warped sense of what a wife is. And you learned a very warped sense as to how you should love your children. And so now when you go out, sir, to find your wife, you're looking for a warped woman. And that will lead to a very negative life. So what do we do? Well, we do exactly what Paul told Titus to do. Find people, older people, godly people, who can train us, who can show us, who can, as it were, mentor us. If you're a woman, you need to find an older, godly woman who has respect for her husband, who loves her children correctly. Watch how she responds to her children. Watch how she responds to her husband. Her husband responds to her. Her children respond to her. Emulate that. Go ask questions. How do you do this? How do you do that? Let her mentor you. There is a transference that always happens. Whether it's positive or not, you get around godly people, godly things are imparted and transferred into you. Now, sir, you do the same identical thing. What you need to do is you need to go find an older, godly man who's living life well. Watch how he loves his wife. Watch how he loves his children and his grandchildren. Emulate that. Let him impart. Let him mentor you. Watch how he does his finances. Watch how he works. What is his work ethics? Watch how what he does, and then you emulate that into your life. You will be successful. You're going to have a great family. You're going to have a great life. You're going to be able to smile, staying positive, even if you had a bad mom, even if she didn't teach you well. God has people already aligned for you in divine appointments. Because he said, though she forget about you, though she disattach from you, I never will. I've got you right here in my palm of my hands, and I am going to take care of you. You will start tending upward, and more and more and more. The blessings of God are going to come upon you. You're going to start making wise decisions because you're learning how to make decisions. You're being imparted to. There's a transference that's coming into your life. You'll be a great mom. You'll be a great dad. And you'll have a great life and you'll smile and you'll enjoy your life, staying positive as you do it. So there's two more I want to talk about. The next one that I want to talk about is a little difficult to talk about because of the society in which we live, and it's discipline. Now, we all understand and know what discipline means, but if you had a bad mom, you probably didn't receive correct discipline. We all know what abusive discipline is. You know, there's this pendulum thing. And abusive discipline is swinging that pendulum way too far. And there's physical abuse that takes place. We all know what that is. But if they swing that pendulum to the other side as well, where there is no discipline, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Where there is no discipline, that is abuse as well. That's just as abusive. This is physical abuse. This is soul abuse. Your soul has been abused if you were not properly and correctly and carefully disciplined. Now, I want you to say this. What we parents have to do is find a place here in the center somewhere where we correctly and properly and carefully discipline our children. It's so important. Now, if you were growing up and you were didn't get disciplined, you thought it was cool because all your buddies were getting blistered and they're getting their privileges taken away and grounded. But you didn't. You were able to do whatever you wanted to do because there was no discipline. But you had to pay for that later in life with an undisciplined life. Right? And maybe your mama wanted to be your friend. Listen, you don't need a friend. You got lots of friends. You needed a mother. You needed a mother who would discipline you and keep your soul alive and keep you hopeful in life and keep you disciplined so that you won't get out in the world and have an undisciplined life. Let me read you a couple of scriptures. See, my mama was excellent here. I mean, she was excellent. Daddy, not so much, but mama was excellent. I mean, it didn't matter where we were. It didn't matter. She would blister me with wherever, with whatever. I mean, it was just how she did it. Now, I was raised in the 50s, and that's a different age than now. See, she could take me to a grocery store, and if I cut up, people expected her to blister me right there. But you do that, but you do that today, you're going to be arrested. You'll be on YouTube. Somebody's going to film you with their telephone spanking your child. It's a different world today. So you have to be careful. I'm going to talk about that, how you do it. But you got to do it. So I want to read you a few scriptures here. Just to show you. And if you were not disciplined this way, you were abused. And this is showing up in your life. All right, here's the first one. Just a few. There's many, many. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. Is that a suggestion or a command? It's a command of God to discipline your children. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him or her with the rod, we know what that is, he or she will not die. Now, they'll act like they're going to die. You acted like you were going to die. I acted like I was going to die. I didn't die. You didn't die. In fact, I needed more. Now, be honest. There are some areas of my life I didn't get enough discipline. See? And in your life, too, there are areas that you needed more discipline. You didn't die. He will not die. Now, watch this part. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from what? Save his soul from death. There's soul abuse if you're not properly disciplined. If you don't discipline your children, something in their soul dies. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son, your child, for in that there is hope. You put hope into your children when you discipline them correctly. Real hope, true hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. There's that death thing again. And if this is not how you were disciplined, you were abused. Something in your soul is dead that God wants to be alive. Something about hope that you should have, you don't have. I want to read that same verse from the King James Version. Chasten thy son, your children, while there is hope. You've got a timeline. And it's from birth until however you, when you can't handle them anymore. But there's a timeline. One day they're going to be gone. And the more you can accomplish when they're little, the less you'll have to do when they get bigger. And the more happier you're going to be. Because they will cause some problems because they're not disciplined. And you're the one that's got to pay for it. All right. So you probably caused your parents some problems and money. I did. All right. Remember, read this scripture. For in that there is hope. Oh, no, wrong one. While there is hope. Okay. Now watch this. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. You know, a lot of parents don't discipline and spank their children because they don't want to hear them cry. The Bible says don't spare for their crying. Don't let that be a deterrent for disciplining your child. And grandparents, listen to me. You got to shut up and you got to let your children discipline their children. And I know what I'm talking about. It is tough. It is tough sitting on this side of the thing. And you watch your grandchild being spanked and it's not fun, but I got to shut up. Don't spare for their crying. One more, and then I'm going to tell you a story about Bonnie. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son. See, we don't see it that way. But we're killing them. We're abusing them when we don't discipline them. Hates his son, but he who loves him is careful. His what? Is careful. You do this carefully, but you're careful to make sure it gets done. Is careful to discipline him. Okay. Bonnie had long had Jack, our oldest and first grandchild. And he was a little guy, 2 years old. He was still in diapers. But he always had this ability to do electronic things. Even when he was this little, we had VCRs then, and he would go and eject the old VCR, put the VCR he wanted in there, put it in, and play it. And we thought it was really cute until his mama came over and said, well, we don't want him doing that because he wants to do it at home. And he thinks if it's okay to do it here, it's okay to do it. Well, it is okay to do it at daddy's house, our daddy's house. You know, we thought it was cute. We wanted him to, but mama didn't. So mama was there with him one day, and he starts doing the VCR thing. And Bonnie says, Jack, stop. Don't do that. Well, Jack didn't. He did it again. Bonnie said again, Jack, I said stop. Don't do that. But he did it again. And she said, all right, Jack, the next time you do it, I'm going to spank you. Well, he wandered around for a few minutes, but then he comes back and he does it again. Well, she's true to her word. But she gets up, she gets him, she sits down, lays him on her lap. Now, he's wearing diapers. Whop, whop, whop. About 3 good pops, you know. Now, he's got, it didn't hurt him. It didn't hurt him a bit. But he squealed and he cried. He, you know, like he was killing him, you know, like he was dying. But he wasn't dying. But something in his soul was being adjusted. See, his soul, that's what we do when we discipline our children. We adjust their soul. We cause something to come alive in their soul. That if they don't get this adjustment, that something in that soul is going to die. Now, what was amazing this is, see, she stood up. She set him back down on the floor, put him back down on the floor. And rather than running over to my chair for get sympathy from his grandfather or running to his grandmother and getting sympathy from his grandmother, he whirls around to his mother who has just spanked him and holds his arms up like this, wanting her to hold him. Now, what I'm wanting you to see here is, listen, you don't drive your children away when you properly discipline them. You draw them to you. They love you. They respect that. You're doing an injustice. You're abusing your child if you do not properly discipline. Now, you got to be careful. You got to be wise. But you got to do it. You got to do it. Okay, so what if I didn't have a mother who gave me proper discipline? Well, what you're probably going through life. You probably pitch temper tantrums when you don't get your way. You probably have difficulties taking instructions from a boss. You probably jump from job to job to job because you never had discipline. You have many areas in your life where you are totally undisciplined. Probably addictions, all kinds of problems. So what do we do? How do we adjust? The Lord says, I love you. I'll never forget you. Where she let you down, I'll take care of it. Well, what does he do? Well, he disciplines us. Let me show you the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12 and verse 6. The writer says, because the Lord disciplines, he does what? He disciplines those he loves, and he punishes, how many? Everyone he accepts as a child or as a son. How many get by without discipline? None. So he has disciplined you if you're a child of God. Now, you may not have known it. He's explaining it to us right there. Now, watch what he says. Endure hardship as discipline. What does that mean? It means when you don't get your way, it means when things get hard for you, when life isn't going just as the way you think it is, God is using his rod on you. He is disciplining you. You can pitch a temper tantrum if you want to. You can be rebellious if you want to, but God's not going to spare for your crying. He is going to get through to you somehow, and he's going to find some way to discipline you because he loves you. This is what he says. God is treating you as sons, as children. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're a good father, you discipline your children. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, every child of God undergoes discipline, but if you're not disciplined, then you are illegitimate. And the King James Version uses a much stronger word. Then you are illegitimate children. and not true children of God, not true sons. So when, what he's saying here is when you go through life and you didn't have discipline, you need to accept God's discipline. And when things aren't going just the way you want and you're pitching your little temper tantrums and you're not getting your way and you won't do what the boss said and you want to be rebellious, you're going to be disciplined. You need to understand when things aren't going your way, if God wanted you to have it, you'd have it. But when you don't get what you want, God is grounding you. He's taking your privileges away. He's going to find a way to discipline you. And he'll never discipline you without letting you know why he's disciplining you. I have never been disciplined of God where I didn't know what I did wrong. He gave me one warning, Jack, stop. Two warnings, Jack, stop. Three warnings, Jack, you do it again, I'm going to spank you. You do it again. You know why he disciplines you. But let me say this while I'm here, is that there is never an act of obedience with God where he doesn't bless you back. Every single act of obedience brings a blessing from God. He says, we prayed it a while ago, if you bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse, I'll open the windows of you and I'll bless you. I'll pour you out the blessing that you need. If you give in secret, I'll reward you openly. There's always blessings that come with obedience. And when you respond to the discipline of God in your life, there is always blessings that are going to come. So how do you do? Well, you obey God and you start tending upward. Now you're living a great life. You're expecting the favor of God. You're making great decisions in life. You are attaching with good people in life. You're experiencing the good things that God has for you. You're going up and up and up in life. Life is getting better and better. You're experiencing better and better things and better houses and better cars. And life's going better and better and your home is better and better and your children are better and better because everything is being taken care of because you're being obedient to the things of God, even though you had a bad parent. One more. Talk about one more, and we're done. Now, this one is one we've all heard. This one is honor your mother. It's Mother's Day. This is a good time to talk about this. Honor your parents. Let me read it to you in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. You've all heard it. Honor your father and mother. And then he says this, which is the first commandment with a promise. What does that mean? Well, honor your father and your mother is one of the Ten Commandments. It's number four. It's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. But this one is unique in that it has a promise directly connected with it. And it's explained to us in the book of Deuteronomy. Here's what it says, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So this is a commandment. If you're not honoring your father and your mother, then you're breaking a commandment. So that, now here's the promise. Here's why you do it. So that you may live long. Now that's a good reason. That's a good reason to honor your mother even though she was a bad mom. You get to live longer. You get days added to your life. He's not talking about love her. And what he's talking about is honoring her. If you honor your mother, you're going to live longer. And, more to it, and that it may go well with you. You're going to have a good life if you honor your mother, if you honor your father, even though they weren't the best of parents. Things are going to go well for you. Whatever you put your hand to is going to prosper, whatever you endeavor to do, wherever that you live. That's what he says. Go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you, wherever he's put you. Things go well with you. That's a good reason. I want you to see the definitions of these Hebrew and Greek words that are used in the Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word here is kabad. And what it means is to be heavy, i.e., in a bad sense, burdensome, severe, dull. Listen, it's burdensome sometime to honor your mother or your parent, even if they were good. I was talking with someone before service, and I was talking about every time I got around my mama, she wanted me to do something. You know, if I went to see her, she wanted me to do something for her. Fix a light, do this, do that, you know. And I wished to goodness today I could do something for her. But see, it's burdensome sometimes. But do it. Sometimes it's severe. You have to have severe discipline to honor your mother, especially if she was a bad mother. And sometimes it's dull. It's not fun. But you're the one that gets the blessing because it also has a good sense to it. It's numerous, it's rich, it's honorable. God will honor you if you discipline your children, if you honor your mother. Where did that come from? Anyway, maybe I didn't say enough about the discipline. But anyway, if you honor your mother, God's going to honor you, and you're gonna, there's riches involved in it. And there's a lot of numerous things that are good in there. And then in the Greek word is tamao, and what it means is fix the value. There is a fixed value on honoring your mother. There is. So you got these things that you've got to incorporate into your life. And if you will, number one, realize God loves you. You're forever attached to Him. He's going to stay with you. Your mother may have not done a good job, but He says, I'll take care of you. I'll maternally love you. Where your mother dropped it, I'll take care of it. Maybe you were crushed. Maybe you were cut in half. God says, listen, we can fix this. You take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and you're going to have a great life. You apply this to your life, you're going to have a great life. Maybe you weren't taught well. You weren't taught how to love your spouse. You weren't taught how to rightly and correctly love your children. But you can learn that. You can learn this. Find some people who will implement this into your life. Mentor you. Can teach you well. Maybe you weren't disciplined as a child correctly. Maybe you were abused. Or maybe you were not disciplined at all. Maybe you were not disciplined well. God says, I'll discipline you. I'll do it with love. And you'll know exactly what you need to do. You need to honor your parents. You need to honor your mother. Today's a great day to do that. Even if she was a bad mom. God says, honor her. I'll bless you. I'll lengthen your life. I'll bless you. I'll make things go well for you. Listen, you can smile. Be positive. Even if you had a bad mother. Even if you got off in life in a bad way. Things can go well for you. You can smile and have a great, great life. Let me pray for us.